Welcome to the new IT. Here we are again in the new IT studios in the house today. Brad, what's going on? What are we talking about today? What's happening in the world of IT, in the new world, in the world of whatever you in Brad's head? What's going on out there?
I don't know if we want to go there because there's too much going on in here.
Too much in his
But
head.
In terms of the show, I mean, I think we're actually going to have a really good show today. So we brought on a guest.
I'm excited. We're talking about airline stuff.
Dude, who
this
knew?
This is legit, man. We've made it to the pinnacle of technology.
Sure have. I mean, when we're hitting that airline, dude, we're right there.
Yeah, what? Who we got in the house today,
so
Brad?
Tell us a little bit about We're him. Very lucky to have Jonathan, or John, in from Breeze Airways. And yeah, I'm going to let him kind of introduce himself, and he can kind of tell us a little bit about him and what is so fascinating about the airline industry.
Ooh, I think I'm fascinated already, right? Man. I'm totally engaged.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks
no
for
pressure,
having me.
Though. Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, so my name's John Richards. I'm the Director of Information Systems at Breeze Airways. We are a new airline in sort of the low-cost space.
Sweet.
And, yeah. So we've been flying planes now for a little over a year. And
that's new, boy, in the airline space. That's legit new.
That's, yeah.
It is, yeah.
We new kid on the block.
Launched right in the middle of COVID, so.
The perfect timing,
perfect
right?
Perfect time right. For an airline. it was great. Yeah, and then we've been sort of building our technology out since 2019, November 2019.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I gotta know. So how does that go, technology? I mean, I would think that in the tech space, an airline has got a lot of craziness, but I don't know. Can you kind of give us what does an airline need in the space of technology? Do you have databases? I mean, I guess you would. You have
they
to.
Have
I'm,
to.
Just, I'm just curious. What does the tech look like in an airline?
Yeah. So our technology is separated into two different categories. One would be the commercial product. So that's exactly what you
flying.
Have. Yeah. Well, no, booking your tickets.
Booking,
exactly.
Okay.
Customer
acquisition
side of things.
Type of
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what you would think about when you think about airline technology. I go, I book my flight, I pick seats.
Yeah.
So just your normal sort of booking flow to get a ticket.
Okay.
And that's the commercial side of the product. And then there's an operational side of the product. This is supporting the airplanes actually flying, maintenance, hours
oh, wow.
that are given flown by pilots.
That's
things
the
like
scary
this.
One. That's the one that really needs to be good.
That's correct. Well, they both need to be
well,
good.
Yeah.
But that's correct.
Yeah, but if
they don't have
people miss the flight, that's okay. But if the flight crashes, that's a big deal.
But
yeah.
Well, I guess yeah. It's a big. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No. The consequences on our operational side are real. If our operational tech doesn't work, we can ground planes or planes are delayed, and the consequences are real. Right? People don't make their flights, miss weddings, so the consequences are pretty big.
And a business or an airline won't stay in business very long.
No.
If those don't work out right.
Correct.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you just not, and it doesn't take much to piss people off either.
No, it doesn't.
Not in today's side. Yeah, in
no,
today's world.
I would think the technology is probably one of the most important pieces of the whole shebang, but am I wrong or
no? You're right. It's hard to operate an airline without technology.
Right. So let me ask you this then. I mean, how are you guys using technology to be a disruptor? I mean, obviously you're the new kid on the block. Speaking of the airline,
yeah.
How are you? What are you doing to make yourself different?
Yeah. So I think the important part when talking about disrupting the airline industry is just understanding how old the airline industry is. So part of the disruption...
Wright brothers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the disruption comes just showing up.
Okay.
Right? Especially on the tech side. Because you're looking at...
And that industry doesn't like that, does it? It doesn't like people showing up.
No, they don't. They really, really don't like that. but a lot of old... So a big thing, a big paradigm shift in technology and writing software in the last, 15, 20 years has been moving to service oriented architectures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of big monoliths of code. So lots of these airlines are built on very large monoliths of code. And so their ability to release, we have executives at our company that are from other airlines, and they were seeing release cycles for software once a year. and it was breaking and having to be rolled back immediately, right? So being able to introduce from the ground up, like a service-oriented architecture into our technology planning makes it, I mean, there's really no reason we can't release software once a week for the lifetime of the airline. Yeah.
So, and essentially, I mean, that makes you more agile, you would think. So, I 100%. Mean, it makes you, you don't have to worry about all the moving parts that, you know, somebody that's been in the industry 40, 50 years, you don't have to worry about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And part of the disruption also came from, look, our executives put a lot of trust in us. So I was at Breeze before there was a single line of code, right?
Oh, cool.
And they could have done something like hired a CTO from another airline to come in and start the project. It would make sense.
Yeah.
But they really took a gamble on bringing in people to do the tech that weren't in the airline. And that's important because, and has brought us a long way because in the airline industry,
you don't have to follow the weird rules that are outdated.
Well, there's so much status quo, and there was a real need for somebody to just, or people to constantly ask why. You know, well, we do it this way, right? The technology in the airline industry works this way. And so we had to show up and just ask why about everything.
Is that, I mean, as just a person, do you think that, hey, I want to feel safe. I want the airline to be using crap they've used for 40 years because that means I'm safer. Is there an argument to that, that no, that doesn't mean it's safer. That means actually maybe less air. I'm just throwing it out there because I could think that we would say, well, that's the way they've been doing it. You know, planes still fly. They're in the air. I just have this, you know, I know a lot of people, when we're talking about airplanes, I'm scared. I hate flying, man, because it freaks me out. And I do it all the time, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, so when it comes to safety and what's actually going on the plane, that's all left up to, you know, Airbus. Our planes, you know, we have Embraer air jets and we have Airbus.
Technicians that deal with all that.
Yeah, and that technology, that's separate. Their job.
And that's
right?
The way it's been done, and they do...
Yeah, and we're not touching that. So if they want to innovate on the way technology, you know, helps a plane land, that's not my business. And I don't want... To be honest, I don't want it to be my business. So. Yeah.
That would be
that's
a very
a whole
stressful,
different
yeah.
world.
That's correct.
Got it. All right. This is good.
Now okay. I get that makes it. Sense.
But as far as making things more efficient, making things be on time better, things like that, is that kind of your bread and butter? Is
yeah.
That
so what the you guys things is? We do. So on the so, it was important to. It's important. A lot of those legacy. There's lots of legacy systems. When I talked about the status quo in the airline industry, there's tons of big legacy systems that need to talk to each other.
Can you maybe give an example or something?
Yeah, so
like
we have a system that is just in charge of maintenance for parts on airplanes.
Okay.
Right? We're not going to build that. That took like 15 years to build. It exists, right?
It's meant for a reason. Yeah. It serves its purpose.
Then there's another system, which is a system that tracks, you know, the actual schedules, the actual flight paths, where the crews are on different airplanes, right? Those systems need to talk to each other. You know, at some of these bigger airlines, there are people doing manual work, having them all talk to each other,
wow.
right? So we've come in on the operation side, and a lot of our job is writing automation and automating a ton of these processes in order to, you know...
Speed up the process.
Speed
so
up the process.
So much more efficient.
Yeah, speed up the process and allow for the information to be correct. Right, all the time. Eliminate the human error from a lot of that. The other part of our job and some of the innovation that I think we're bringing to the table, especially in the low-cost carrier side, is another big third-party system that all these airlines use. A lot of these low-cost airlines usually use is a booking system. It's an API that's for bookings and reservations. Right.
Okay. So like your price lines or things like that, does it integrate with them or is it different?
The infrastructure behind booking a ticket,
okay,
right? Paying for your ticket. Those are these booking systems. And those booking systems often, the easiest thing, especially for a new airline, there's been a couple recently, is you come in and those companies offer like a white labeled product for a front end that sits on top. Like, hey, you know, as a company, we're an API, but let's give you this white-labeled front end and you can use that customize to get it off the ground. And we came in and we looked at that white labeled product, and we realized if we want to be, if we want to sort of lead the way in technology, and we want to be where we're, where we want to, if we want to get to where we want to be in the next 5 years, we can't use it. We have to build it from scratch. We can't take these updates.
Was this before a plane even got off the ground?
Oh, yeah. This was in November 2019.
Wow.
And, you know, part of this, going back to this CTO idea, they could have brought in sort of a CTO from an airline. He probably would have said, let's just do that.
Throw that up.
He would have said,
don't bucket.
Yeah, don't do that. And, you know, you got to take risks.
Innovation.
And you have to,
innovation doesn't happen by being, you know, complacent.
Yeah, and some of our, and some of the decision, to be honest, it's not, we weren't geniuses. We were actually, it was probably born, I mean, it certainly was necessity. Born out of necessity and ignorance.
I love it.
You know, we took a risk
out of, some of the greatest things.
Yeah, we took a risk out of ignorance and we said, no, we're going to build it from the ground up and we're going to start right now. And luckily, our launch was delayed a bit because of COVID, but we worked tirelessly
day and night
to build it up to be ready to sell flights on that first day. And it was interesting because, you know, a lot of other technologies, you get like beta users, you know, some soft launching, but this was like, you know, a year and a half of writing software and then you press a button and it's on.
Just like that.
Interesting. And, we all know how well that always goes when you press the button, usually.
Yeah. Well, and it was astonishing because it worked very well.
That doesn't happen in the space.
Yeah,
that right there is an innovator and a disruptor right there in itself.
Yeah, we had a great technology launch. So
that is cool. That's exciting.
So yeah, so I want to kind of dive a little bit deeper into that. Tell me, I mean, how big is the team? I mean,
who takes care of it? I mean, what does that look like? Your tech base.
Sure. So yeah, November 2019, we started with three of us. Right.
Oh wow.
And we just started
going away,
sitting down, going for burying it.
Yeah, and it was just engineers. We were just writing code, right?
Wow.
And
it's cool.
It's crazy.
And at this point, now we have in just the software space. So we're talking QA, DevOps, engineers, and product. I think we're up to about 35 to 40 people that are supporting it at the moment.
Are they all around the country, all around the world? Are they based mostly all in Utah?
They're all in Utah.
They're all in Utah. So you don't have any remote folks?
None. I mean,
we've probably some consultants.
And we've recently had a couple developers go fully remote. So we're testing those waters.
Man, cool. We've talked about the Great Resignation a lot, and stuff like that. It's interesting when we see companies that are fully back to in-house and stuff. Was there a time when everybody was out? I mean, you were in the middle of COVID when you guys were putting this whole thing together. What did that look like?
There was a time they wouldn't let us come into the office.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
But we started out all in office until pretty recently, I'd say, and some of that had to do with, I mean, we were just whiteboarding 70% of our time, right? Yeah. So and then we saw sort of the want or need for some flexibility and remote work, and we moved to like a hybrid system, going 2 days a week remote, and so we're still looking into what that looks like for us.
Yeah, yeah. You're still building it out. You guys are still figuring it out. So
yes.
Cool. So how big is Breeze overall? I mean, like, what's the employee count like? What's the culture like? Let's unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah, we love talking about the culture. In the space now, in the IT world, it's everything. I mean, it's not just about the money anymore.
Exactly.
It's about how you're getting treated. And so we love hearing that.
Sure. So it's hard to put a number on how many employees we have at the moment because we are scaling
like crazy.
Fast. Yeah, I mean, I think we're upwards of 800 employees now.
Wow.
Total. And by the beginning of next year, we're supposed to be at like 1,200. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, the company's going to grow. We have like 80 planes on order from Airbus that come in once a month. So
Wow.
Yeah. So
that you'll get.
Yeah.
How long? I mean, how long does it take to get a freaking airplane?
They come off the line once a month. So.
So you got 80 months worth of planes coming?
Yeah.
Wow. That's freaking nuts. That's man. Awesome.
And I think the numbers are a little higher than that. Are they all the
same? You guys use kind of like Southwest where they use kind of the same plane, or you guys have different planes?
All the ones we have ordered are Airbus A220s, which are just incredibly fuel efficient airplanes. Nice, new. They're great.
They're talking me into it.
Right. I know. I actually want to go on a flight. Yeah. Just to get the experience.
You guys flying down in there in Provo?
We'll be leaving out of Provo.
It's all Provo?
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, you can fly tons of stuff on the East Coast right now. Mm. But from here, you'll be able to fly to Provo, San Francisco, LAX.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. I mean, let's dive into this culture a little bit more. I mean, help me understand. I mean, what is it? What's a day in a life like in your shoes, or maybe a software developer's? What does that look like?
A day in the life of a software developer.
Yeah. There's no surprises there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we can guess that, but from a company side, like what if I was new to the company?
Do they go get the free coffee?
Right?
Do they have a soda, Red Bull in the fridge? I don't know.
Sure.
What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, talking about culture always feels like an odd thing because it means so many different things to different
Absolutely.
People, right?
I'll give you that.
But as far as those sort of surface level culture things, yeah, I mean, we have, yeah.
Do you have a yoga room?
Coffee, drinks. No, we
do
not.
You don't have a yoga room. That's it. No dice.
I'm done.
No, we have ping pong, foosball table. Yeah, I mean, we want our developers to be able to, you know, engage with hard problems and then be able to stand up, disconnect for a minute, do something fun, and then get back,
okay.
back to it.
I would think an airline is pretty, you know, serious business. So it'd be hard to be like Zappos, where people are, you know, dancing in the hallways and stuff. I would think, you know, you can't be too frivolous in an airline.
Right.
You're taking this shit serious, right?
I mean, sure, to a degree.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it out there. I want you guys to be serious. This is a serious business. We're flying in the air.
No, I mean, yes. It's fairly serious, but our culture, I think, is fun and engaging.
Yeah.
And a lot of the draw, you know, for people coming on now is we still have just tons of greenfield projects, right? Just starting from brand new.
That's exciting for somebody who wants a challenge.
Yeah, and at a lot of bigger companies,
and to learn
you don't
and
always
grow
get that. That's correct.
As a dev.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's huge.
So let's talk about your tech stack. I mean, what sort of tech stack do you have, and what do you look for in software developers?
Yeah, so we use, for our service-based architecture, we use Ruby on Rails.
Oh, okay.
Sort of API-only Ruby on Rails services. We're then using Angular in the front end, and then also React.
So. Okay, nice. That's way cool. So like I said, I mean, help me understand, like, when you take an interview for a software developer, what makes a candidate stand out to you that says, this guy or this person is exactly what we're looking for?
Yeah, that's hard because, you know, I was having this discussion today. I wish it was as easy as... I wish there were some very clear-cut metrics when it came to that, right?
Don't you just make a resume that says you want a superhero that can do everything on the freaking planet?
Basically. I get that all the time from my clients. What do you think?
That's your ideal guy. That knows everything about everything on the universe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something like that. So when I'm interviewing someone, or when we're interviewing someone for especially development positions, it comes down to a couple things. One is, do you like to solve problems? Well, are you good at solving problems, and do you really like it?
Okay.
What language they've been writing, for the majority of people I interview, I could really care less. You know, we may hire like a senior Ruby engineer, a senior Angular engineer, as a mentor or someone to really dive into specifics, but the language someone's been using is inconsequential to me.
Okay, it's more, like you said, it's more about the problem-solving skills, making sure they have a good understanding of that, just rather, and they like doing it, rather than what code they've been in.
Yeah, and do they like doing it is just so important. I think people, you know, there's been a push into the computer science space, right?
Certainly.
And a lot of it, especially in the Valley now, is driven by money.
Oh, absolutely.
But liking money is and being okay at coding is not, you're not, nope. you're not going to thrive. It's not going to serve you.
Right.
You know, it's not, computer science isn't for everyone.
Yeah, I tell people when they're, if they're interested, I'm like, you have to think a certain way to be a really good dev. You have to almost have a brain that really enjoys that problem solving piece.
Yeah.
And if you're really not like that, just because you think that this is a good path to go down to make lots of money, I would rethink that.
Yeah. And if you don't love it, it will
burn out.
It will kill you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes,
it will bury you. Yes. I mean, it's not, it will feel very tedious and scary if you don't love it.
In college, the little bit of programming I learned really quickly, that's not my thing. It's just not.
Sure.
My brain didn't work that way. It was brutal
to
make, you know, the click go one way. I was just like, oh, this is horrifying. So I have so much respect for folks that have that kind of brain.
Sure.
And when you do, it's, I think the sky's the limits for you. Because we all have had those devs where, man, this guy is gold. They are worth their weight in gold because you give them something, they will figure out how to make it work because they love it.
Correct.
That
you give them
now,
that
finding
problem.
That person, how the hell do you find that person?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, you know, and you'll find
because usually they're not super outgoing either. They're not, hey, look at me, how cool I am. No, usually they're the quiet ones. Yeah. It's just a badass.
Yeah, and you'll find so many different opinions on how to interview for them, and you know, should you have 9 interviews? Should you have 1 interview? Should you have right?
Right.
So what exactly. do you do? I'm specific. How do you do it? What's your vision?
Yeah. So one of the main things we do during an interview is we do an in-person coding exercise that is really low pressure. That's hard. They all feel like high pressure. They're in an interview, but you know, it's not focused on syntax. It's not focused on how well you know a language or anything like that. And it's not even really based on can you solve the problem. It has to do with interacting with us. Well, in interacting with us, how do you ask? Are you going to ask the right questions to us to clarify the problem?
Yeah.
Are you going to get help? Are we going to work together to solve the problem? I could have somebody show up to the interview, kill the problem, and they're not the, you know, they knew the solution to the problem right away. They're not the right fit. I could have someone show up. They're not really sure how to attack the problem at first, but they ask the right questions. They collaborate well with us. We end up at the answer together, and they're the right fit.
That is powerful insight for our listeners. Anybody
Absolutely.
That's listening, guys, this is powerful stuff. It isn't about knowing everything.
No.
It's about being able to fit the culture of,
and collaborate.
And being able to collaborate with the folks that are already there.
Yeah.
Would you say that's
correct?
True?
And the farther I get into computer science, all I really become certain of is I know almost nothing about it.
True!
And there's a weird culture in the software space where you almost feel like you have to
know everything,
and you have to sort of pump yourself up as someone who's just like an expert in your field. But that's not where the money's at. The money's at knowing your limitations, being willing to learn, and knowing how to collaborate with other people.
So, that is the key, right? That is a gold nugget, right, for this episode. It's so huge. I used to laugh because somebody being in the IT space, you know, you would say IT means a bazillion different things, right? But just to keep it simple, you'd say in the IT space, you know, information technology.
Yeah.
And somebody, it would inevitably, somebody, oh, you're in the IT space. I've got this error on my computer, 478-56713, you know, what does that mean? And you're like,
I don't know.
And they're like, they look at you like, what the? I thought you were in the IT space. What's the deal?
Yeah, you're like, I don't know.
You're like, you know, just
but
because
you need
you're
to
in
know
the
this.
IT
you should
space
know this.
Doesn't know I know the secrets to the universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is very powerful, a lesson for our listeners to understand that, hey, you want to find the right fit, and to do that is to just be yourself.
Yeah.
And do what it takes to show your who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And to realize the technology that you've been using or that you've learned you love it, but it's really not more special than any other technology.
Boy,
you know?
It depends on who you talk to, though.
Exactly.
They all but that's their opinions.
Yeah, but that's
but
correct.
You're right but on. You're right on the money. They're nothing special.
Yeah, so you know, some red flags, you know, if we're talking to people that go into interviews a lot of red flags in the IT space are, you know, hearing if a company tells you what stack they're using and you have some negative opinion about that stack or you think you should use some different stack,
That's a big red flag.
That is the last thing you should voice during an interview because
yeah, that's cool, but man, my experience is that's complete crap to do. It's like, yeah, you might as well just leave.
Yeah, pretty much. We could have written Breeze in 10 different languages, right? And they absolutely all would have had their pros and cons, and it's a game of trade-offs.
So, it really is. That's the whole thing. Is I think personally, you hit that right on. Is it's not necessarily about the technology; it's about how you can problem solve and how you can, you know, find a solution to the problem at hand. It doesn't matter the language. It doesn't matter about anything other than just getting the problem solved. Who cares what language it's written in?
No. Yeah.
Wow. That is so important for us, all of us individually in the technology space.
Oh, absolutely.
To really comprehend and understand. I got a question. So how do you feel about the future of technology in your guys' space and what you're doing? Are you doing anything innovative now that you think in the future will be even cooler, better, magnificent, that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we've got some things in the works I can't necessarily talk about, but technology in the airline space, I think, just needs to modernize. And I think we've laid a foundation that will be able to get us there. Right. I think that, you know, we took some risk, not all. So going back to risks, we took some risks that didn't pay off. Not a lot of them do. You know, early on, we made a gamble on the fact that maybe our guests would care more about the design aesthetic of our site rather than sort of the e-commerce focus of other sites, right? And people listening that are in the e-commerce
space. So that
space
it looks cool, then it doesn't
function
simple
properly
to use.
Yeah.
Or know that it's easy to use and stuff, but some of the general e-commerce stuff that you learn, like having things above the fold, above the scroll, right? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people scroll. You know, we made a risk and a gamble on, well, maybe that's not true anymore. You know, maybe they'd want to interact with our site and they won't care. And, you know, after heat maps and things like that, we were wrong.
They do care.
They do care.
Absolutely.
And so it's important I guess my point is some things that are traditional are traditional for a reason, right? Because of human nature. So going back to your innovation point, I think, you know, there's a lot of innovation to be had on that booking process. How quickly you can do it, how at ease you can be with it. Airline Wi-Fi, there's a big space for innovation there. It's always been very, very, very slow. And there's a lot of space for much faster Wi-Fi and that's much easier to connect to
all,
and reliable.
Right.
Yeah, so
I don't even waste my time.
Yeah.
At least I have it traditionally.
You know, I will say this, and hopefully this doesn't offend you since it's your competitor, but I did have to pay for Wi-Fi on my latest flight back from San Diego, but I was able to watch a whole show up in the air. Well, I was actually watching live TV the whole time, and it's like, why are we not providing this more regular and charging people for it? It's something, from my perspective, fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
So I would assume that that's kind of the direction or the thinking that you have with Breeze is providing more customer value.
That's correct. And so when you had to buy that Wi-Fi, what was your experience going through that flow to buy it?
For the most part, it was fairly simple. It connected to Apple Pay, so it was easy for me. But I could see how it could be very misconstrued or very clunky or very time consuming.
Yeah. Did you have to log in to sort of like a portal to use the internet?
No, I didn't. Well, I logged onto the Wi-Fi to begin with, and then when I logged onto the Wi-Fi, it asked me, do I want free or do I want to pay for it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so we're looking to make a really seamless experience on our airplanes.
Nice.
We're basically looking to create technology where if you've already bought Wi-Fi before your flight, you get on and your phone's already connected to the internet.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that. That's exciting. That makes me happy because then you don't have to worry about it.
There's going to be a checkbox when you buy your ticket that says, do you want Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
There's the checkbox.
Yeah, and so...
Wow, that's cool.
And some of the innovation in the space has to do with dealing with vendors that say, you know, well, no one's ever used our technology quite like that. You know, and we say, yeah, we know.
I love these guys.
We know, and we'd like to sort of push it. We'd like to push the limits a little bit. So
things get changed.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do.
Love it.
Wow, that is exciting.
That's awesome.
So one last question then. We like, you know, this is the new IT, so we'd like to ask the question to you. What do you think about technology in general for the future? Is there anything that you are excited about seeing, and if not in your company, but just in general, what are you like excited about that, hey, this, I see the future of this really, really exciting?
Yeah, things could get weird here.
I love it. This question, because then we get to really find out where your head is.
Yeah, so I'm very into sort of the ideas around like transhumanism and sort of you know, the things that Elon Musk is doing with Neuralink, and I think that holding
we're full
our
cyborg here, we're going all the way in here in 50 years. We're going to download our brain, like Ray Kurzweil says, into a you know, another body.
Yeah, I really don't think that the interface between humans and computers will be laptops and phones or anything like that in the future. So that's really the part of technology that I'm pretty excited about.
Interesting.
How long before that becomes not just talking craziness?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, they
10
can already...
years? I mean, what do you think? I'm just curious. I love this stuff, too, because I'm a big
Ray
Kurzweil fan.
I'm thinking at least 25 years.
Yeah, I'm thinking 20,
if you read the light engagement or the human engagement, whatever that Ray Kurzweil book is, he says the singularity is around 2025.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know.
But he hit 2010 right on the money because he started talking about keyboards will be less and less, wireless will be, plugs and cables will start to go away, wireless electric. This was 2010 that he said that's what would be going on. Anyway, there was that recent guy,
you know, from Google. Did you see that engineer who... He was claiming to be a whistleblower, that there was sort of a ghost in the machine, that their AI had come alive. It didn't go over well in the tech community because, you know, AI, I think, is a lot dumber than most people think. So
100% agree with you on that.
It is not...
But it still needs to be programmed by the human to do what it's being asked to do.
That's correct. It's not very smart.
Yeah. Give it time.
I love this discussion. We could have a whole show on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for being open to that, because I love it. Any last questions,
yeah.
Brad?
Yeah, so what do you think? Tell us, how can people get a hold of you guys? How can they apply? What's their best method to do that? And yeah.
Yeah, so we have... Gosh, I should probably have this handy right at this moment.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. If you go to flybreeze.com, down at the bottom of the page, you'll probably see a careers link, and you can apply there. We're always looking for developers. We're always looking for interns. We're in need of QA resources, DevOps resources, product management. So that's a really great place. That's really the first step there.
Cool.
You can always look me up too, John Richards on LinkedIn.
Awesome.
Breeze Airways.
Love it.
Hit me up and we will chat.
This is exciting. I love it that you guys are being innovative and really, really thinking and changing up the space. We need that. We need
absolutely.
More of that.
Especially in the airline industry.
Oh.
I mean, like we talked about, I mean, they're what, 60, 70 years old?
Yeah.
They're ancient at this point.
Let's shake it up a little. Come on, people.
Absolutely.
There's stuff we can do. I love it. Thank you, man, for being on the show so
much. It's been great.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
It's been fun.
It's been awesome.
All right, folks, you know the drill. Thank you for listening to The New Eye.